Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hang on to your balls. It's time for the Horror Hangout Podcast.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout Podcast, where two bearded film fans watch the 50 best horror movies ever and then talk about them. My name is Luke Condor, and that's with a K. And today I'm joined by Mr. Ben Arrington. Mr. Ben Arrington. How's it going?
Mr. Ben Arrington.
I put a weird embellishment on that. Sorry about that.
I like it. It improves my name tenfold. Thank you. I'm good. I'm good. Thanks, Luke. Condor with a K. How the devil are you?
I'm good. You had a shower out here?
I did have a shower. It was quite refreshing. I'm clean everywhere.
You look very refreshing right now.
You've got a refreshing.
You looking at you makes me feel like I've had a shower. That's how clean. Does it?
Yeah. That count. That basically counts.
I'll be fine now. Yeah, I'll be fine. Yeah, man. What have you been up to?
What have I been up to? I've been up to
other
some
than
stuff
showering
and things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Showered once, maybe twice in the last week. I've been up to some stuff. I haven't really had much time to
watch
much horror. Yeah, I've not really watched. This has probably been the first week in a while where I've watched next to nothing, which is quite upsetting. I don't know. Halloween week just kind of took over. Yep. Loads of parties going down.
Yeah, boozing, cocaine.
Boozing, yeah. Cocaine. Didn't do any of those things, but you know, yeah, it's on the list.
Any boozing? No boozing at all?
I didn't do any boozing, no. I mean, the parties I went to were mainly children. There were adults there as well.
Okay.
And there was only one. It was like an evening.
Okay. Only one adult.
One adult. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So and it was me!
And they can't booze, can they? They can't be the one. Because, you know, it's rude at a party to be the only one drinking.
So. Yeah, I know what you mean. I always feel a bit odd drinking, you know, just when I'm at a kid's party, because I don't want to be that boozy weirdo. Not that I'm a weirdo in any way, I said.
Yeah, Mr. Classic Mr. Arrington. So, did they call you Mr.
Classic
Arrington?
Classic Mr. Arrington.
They can't call you Ben. What did they call you?
Who's this?
The children of the party.
Children of the party?
Excuse me, Mr. Arrington, I need a poo-poo.
No one calls me Mr. Arrington.
What
no one
call
calls
you?
Me Ben.
Sir?
No. It's not that formal. Oi, mate. Oi, you.
Really?
No, not that.
Jesus Christ. Where is...
kids are pretty rude, though. Kids
brutal.
Are pretty rude.
Yeah.
I think a kid started on me yesterday.
That's a horror movie. What? So, this kid started on you?
Yeah, so I went and watched I want to watch WWE in Cardiff yesterday, which was pretty exciting.
Yeah.
No, that's not
course,
horror.
Yeah.
That's not horror related.
Kane was there, wasn't he?
Kane was there, horror related, I guess. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
There we go.
Did
Big
he
red
got
machine.
Hair again? What happened?
Because
he had hair when I stopped watching, and then I saw a picture and he had no hair.
I don't know if this is true, but I think he's never had hair. It's always been a hairpiece. I think he's always had some hair, but I don't know if he's always had hair that long.
Yeah. Interesting.
Because now it's like attached to the mask. Anyway, I was in the queue and some boy turned around to me and he was like, "Do you like wrestling or what?" And then I gave him a bit of shit and just went, "No, I just stood in the queue for the wrestling for a laugh." Just wind him up. And then his mum turned on me and then he turned on me.
Tag team.
And then at some point, well, not it wasn't in an horrible way, it was just in a banter way. And then he just said out of nowhere, he turned back round, like he was thinking about what to say, and he just turned back around and went, I'm going to Superman punch you, which is a famous WWE wrestling move.
And I was like, I always think that's like a mixed martial art move. So, because I watched, we'll get into the horror movie stuff soon. So I watched the UFC, which, you know, it's like the grown-up version of WWE.
Yeah, it's like that grown-up version of WWE. All the kids watch it.
Did you see Superman punching WWE?
Yeah, it's like a... Roman Reigns does it. It's like a jumping sort of punch. It's just a bit.
That's cool. Okay, man. Yeah. So
okay, so, mate. That's cool.
At what point did you Irish whip the kid?
Straight away, pretty much into traffic.
Cool.
It was slow moving, so it's fine. He only had a cracked skull.
Okay, that's good.
This is horrible. Brutal. This is brutal. I didn't do that. This is terrible.
Boozing. Irish whipping kids in traffic. So I watched some horror stuff. I watched Society, which is like a 1989 horror movie. It's on Shudder. Have you heard of Society?
I've not seen it, but I've seen recognizable.
You only need to see the last 20 minutes. Like,
just fast forward.
Well, yeah, because the first hour is just like an experiment in trying to prolong that moment until it gets absolutely. It should have just been a short film, but it's good. Those last 20 minutes are really like amazing to see.
So Shudder, you recommend?
Yeah, Shudder's great. It's only like £5 a month, and it's like Netflix the horror section of Netflix is okay with a lot of shit. Shudder's like there is still a lot of shit, but there's also like a lot of classics, a lot of like 80s horror stuff, and like I don't know, it's super focused, and there's a lot of good stuff on there. Yeah.
How much is it?
Fiverr a month.
Yeah, I've been kind of debating it. We are not sponsored in any way by Shudder when we are discussing it.
Although I have emailed to ask, and they just never got back to me.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
We'll not listen to you riff raff. Okay. Yeah,
Annabelle Creation. We watched Annabelle Creation. Have you seen that?
That's the new Annabelle, yeah?
Yeah.
I've not seen either of those because I feel confused by the concept of it because it is like kind of a spin-off from The Conjuring, isn't it?
Yeah, it's do you like The Conjuring?
Which is
films?
Weird.
You're not a big fan of them, are you?
The first one was okay, I think, and I thought the second one was great.
Yeah,
The Conjuring,
Conjuring,
if you will. I thought the second one was great. I think they captured sort of like what was it, 1970s
London, like
it was London. It was like Liverpool, I thought.
No, it was just outside of London, wasn't it?
I got that wrong, have I? Bloody heck.
London
events. Yeah. I think they captured that really well. I think, like, the character... Do you know what I mean? You know sometimes when these big films try and do, like, Londoners?
Yeah.
From any time period. And
they really managed to capture the grottiness of it.
Yeah, the grottiness was captured. Yeah. You know, all the horrible patterns on the carpet and the duvets and everything. It felt...
Digested biscuits felt like on a plate. Yeah.
That's a great meal for some.
Yeah.
You know, that's a great meal. Great sustenance. Yeah. But yeah, I think they captured that really well. And it felt like a really nice lived-in world. And when it was like, when it was all the ghostly stuff happening, it felt like believable. Even though, like, the actual footage of that true story is kind of ridiculous. And what is it? What, Enfield?
Enfield, that's the one. Oh, maybe it is Liverpool. Where's Enfield?
If it turns out it's in Liverpool, after you put me through that admit you're wrong moment...
No, London Borough of Enfield.
Ah! Yeah. You did a twisty on me.
Okay.
Oh, let me just check that for you. Okay, I've checked it. And yes, it turns out you are wrong after all. And I gave you that brief glimmer of hope.
No, yeah, unless it's a different Enfield. Are you thinking of Anfield? I feel like that's
maybe that's how I got maybe that's how my little stupid brain got confused. Are you thinking of Anfield? Because there's only one letter different. I mean, I can see what you got.
Yeah. Okay.
Patronizing Condor.
So, should we talk about the film for the day? Film of the night?
Yeah. Have you watched any other horror? That's it.
Oh yeah. So, Annabelle Creation was surprisingly good. Actually, it was because the first Annabelle was pile of shit poops. Big pile of Irish whipping shits. And it's No, but the second one, yeah, is this prequel. It was made by the guy who did what's the film with the lights and they turn off and then it goes to bed, lights out.
Lights out.
Yeah, which is okay.
What's the name of that film with the lights to go out? I mean, the lights are out. What's it called again?
Yeah, well, it's
patronizing
Ben. Oh god. It's really good. I'd definitely recommend it. I kind of figured it's just kind of like a ghost story, you know. A ghost appears and then like the person, the next time you see them, they're all shriveled up or something, like a classic ghost death. This is kind of brutal. There's one like death scene where there's like a woman ripped in half. It's got like demons in it and stuff. It's way more brutal than I thought it was going to be.
Oh.
Yeah. It's surprising.
This week I'm planning to watch I Know What You Did Last Summer.
I haven't seen that in so long.
Yeah, because I noticed it's on Netflix and I just looked at it and I thought, that's the who's who of like late 90s megastars. Jennifer Love Hewitt, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Freddie Prinze Jr.
Freddie Prinze Jr. I was trying to say his name and it came out as Jamie Feakston. What does Jamie Feakston look like? In my head, Freddie Prinze Jr. comes up. Like if I do an internal mind Google.
He's got all the big stars. Jamie Feakston.
Richard Bacon.
Andy Peters. He's got all the big bad.
Wow, imagine that. Horror movie with those guys in it.
But yeah, so it made me kind of want to watch it because I remember it quite well, and I remember it being all right.
Yeah. Scream was the first VHS horror movie I owned as a kid. I Know What We Did Last Summer was the second. Those 90s.
That's slashes. The big one, too. And I think we do have Scream on this list at some point, which would be nice to
it's good.
Revisit.
Okay, so should we talk about the film for this week?
Yes, indeed.
So we are number 21 of the list, top 50 horror films ever made. Number 21 is a little old feature film called The Fog. Do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
The Fog? Okay, The Fog is a 1980 American horror film directed by John Carpenter, who also co-wrote the screenplay and created the music for the film. It stars Adrienne Barbeau, murdered that name, sorry, Jamie Lee Curtis, Tom Atkins, Janet Leigh, and Hal Holbrook, and it tells the story of a strange glowing fog that sweeps in over a small coastal town in California, bringing with it the vengeful ghosts of mariners who were killed in a shipwreck exactly 100 years before.
Nice. Okay, and this is what...
That's unfortunate.
It is pretty unfortunate, yeah. This is what the Empire Film Students had to say. A chilly yarn about ghost pirates exacting revenge on a small coastal town. The Fog is so explicitly a campfire tale that it even begins with a scout troop sitting around a seaside blaze with time for just one more story. Carpenter's follow-up to the classic Halloween saw some post-production tinkering to make the scares more explicit. And when you know that, you can definitely spot the reshoot joins. But it doesn't affect what remains perhaps Carpenter's most purely atmospheric film. Interestingly, this film is not rated as highly as like the last few films that we've had. So 71% on Rotten Tomatoes. And Eyes Without a Face and whatever we did before, that was on like 98 or something ludicrous. 6.8 on IMDb. So lower than the IMDb threshold. And then when we asked the Facebook group, Tommy Draper said, definitely one of the best horror films. Loved it ever since it scared him as a kid. Andy Conduit Turner said, this one's an old favourite from the Master of Horror. The remake makes me sad. And then he had a little unhappy face. And then the rest of the people just sort of put little gifs and videos of their sort of favourite bits. So it's interesting, like, critically, it's not particularly liked at all. But for the horror fans, they seem to love it.
And that's all that's important, mate. As long as the old horror fans love it.
Yeah, yeah.
We're the most important. I haven't seen the remake. Have you seen the remake?
No, I've not even seen this until this time.
You still haven't seen it.
I've not seen it. What film are we doing again?
It's called...
You need to say the lead on this one, Ben.
Yeah. Remember when this bit happened? It was terrifying, wasn't it? Yeah, it was. Yeah, this was... it's pretty great, this film. There's some characters in this film who I kind of feel like it could do without. I kind of feel like I'm not too interested in their plight as I am in some others.
Yeah.
And when they're on screen, I'm a bit like, nah, 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 go away.
There's a couple I can think of like who really added nothing to this to the whole any of the story.
Well, unfortunately for me, I wasn't too big on Jamie Lee Curtis in this. Now, it almost feels like she's just there for the sake of it, simply because of who she is and the fact that she's been in, like, obviously, Halloween, which was how many years before?
Yeah. Well, I did I don't know, not many years before. I mean, I did read that Jamie Lee Curtis couldn't get cast after Halloween, and that's why John Carpenter put her in this, because he just wanted to give her a job, because he's like a massive fan of her.
And she's couldn't get cast this week.
No, I think maybe she got typecast or something in Halloween.
Yeah,
I don't know. But so she thought, I better do another horror film just so I don't get typecast.
I better do another John Carpenter horror film so I can avoid the risk of getting typecast.
You know what? So I have become more and more of a John Carpenter fan over the past few, like mainly the past year since we started doing this. I've always liked his films. I even had Ghost of Mars on DVD and I watched it many times. And I've done him on DVD. It's all right. It's got a certain sort of charm to it.
Those vampires, I think.
Yeah, I always love vampires as well.
I never knew that was John Carpenter for ages as well.
Yeah, I think it was. I don't know how I watched it. I mean, when did that come out?
Maybe 99. I mean, that's merely a guess. James Woods, isn't it?
Yeah.
98 looks like 1998. Vampires. I remember seeing some of that when I was quite young. Well, I guess youngish. I'm being a little bit freaked out by it.
Yeah, I was freaked out by the bit where...
there was a house full of vampires, wasn't there?
Yeah, that's how it starts. Yeah, so these vampire hunters kill this house of vampires. And then the Dracula sort of main head of the vampire family comes to the after party of the hunt. And that bit freaked me out because he just murders. He just straight up murders everyone in incredibly brutal ways.
Interesting.
Yeah, so John Carpenter. Yeah, so and like I think since I... been listening to his music so much, I've been watching, filling in my John Carpenter gaps. I've watched all of the Prince of Darkness and In the Mind of Madness, the films I haven't seen, and this is one of those films that I hadn't seen, and it just reaffirms that my opinion that John Carpenter is he just got such a certain style to his films that I really, really enjoy.
This for me feels like I've seen it lots because my mum was quite a big fan of this film, so I saw it a few times growing up. Even though, it's got a lot of John Carpenter style stuff in it, it's probably one of the least John Carpenter films for me.
Yeah.
For me, at least. Like the soundtrack, yes. But in terms of it's got a great atmosphere. But I feel like the first two thirds of the film are so good. And then I feel like the final third, for me at least, feels a bit rushed. And it almost feels like the build is so meticulous, has done so well, and it tries to involve everybody in this sort of story, that eventually when the fog arrives and all these people are in peril, even though, as I said, some characters I wasn't too bothered about, it did feel kind of rushed, and I felt like the tension kind of just washed away. I didn't feel
someone just wafting the fog away.
It was like someone just wafted the old fog away. I mean, it is a good film. It's spooky, isn't it? And but as I said, there, unfortunately, considering what's come before for John Carpenter, unfortunately, the threat, so these ghostly pirate things, do look a bit silly at times. In some shots, they look good. In some shots, where you just see glowing red eyes, and they look good. In other shots,
silhouettes.
Just silhouettes. They look pretty good. But when you see other shots, when they just look like a man with a bandana on. Or just like, there's a couple of shots.
They're meant to be like leopards, right?
Yeah, so they've all got like bandages on, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, even though they're leopards.
Pirate leopards.
Ooh, you're ever so spotty, you are.
Leopard pirate ghosts.
Leopard pirate ghosts.
It was an interesting take on the ghost story.
Yeah, I think on some close-ups they look a bit silly. I mean, I know what close-ups they are. And I did find myself laughing. I mean, we'll talk about these moments, but I found myself laughing like at least half a dozen times.
Half a dozen.
Which is probably too many. there was a moment which I rewound and watched at least four or five times. Again, I'll tell you in a minute. Okay. because it was hilarious. But yeah, go on.
Okay. Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I thought the best thing I liked about this game was you got the radio playing and it's sort of showing the different parts of Antonio Bay. I was like, I feel like I'm playing Grand Theft Auto. I've discovered a new island, and like you're going through, you're driving around. I felt like it was like an open world game of
this. I think the main thing this made me feel, which I don't think I rarely get with a horror film, is I'd love to live there. I thought that. I'd love to live there and just like, even though that radio station was playing some crap, it was just constant swing jazz or something. It was, there was nothing that like got, I wanted it to be like, keep really getting me going.
Yeah.
But just the thought of, do you know what I mean? Just that small town vibe.
I googled it. I was like, where is Antonio Bay? I don't know if it's a real place, but like, because I found San Antonio Bay, I don't think that is where it is. I don't know.
I just thought it looked lovely. Like, everyone seemed to know everybody. You know, you've got like a church and a lighthouse, and it just
seemed
nice.
Small town radio where you can just call in and talk to the radio person. And it's like a proper local little community. I don't even really get that anymore.
I liked it, and I'd like to see, like, imagine like a first person horror game set there.
Yeah, imagine. So, like, I think there should be a game based on like a Evil Fog type thing, and like a coastal nautical sort of theme to it. It's it's creepy as fuck.
No, it's creepy. What are you more creeped out by, the fog or the mist?
The mist. I mean, the mist is like, they've got tentacles and bugs and giant spiders in it,
How would you know which was which? Like, if you're somewhere and the fog,
if like you went outside and it's fog down there and there's mist down there, you're like, which way do you go?
Which way do you go? Because you'd want to choose the fog, but how would you know which one was which? What's the difference between a fog and a mist? I mean, that's a question for another time, but it's still important.
Kat said that we were watching it, and Kat said, "Is this like the mist?" And I was trying to explain. I guess kind of. I mean, it's
you tried to explain in your most patronizing tone.
Listen, darling. When it comes to fog and mist, and I'll get more and more northern. When it comes to fog and mist, like... I think the fog, though, is more alive. Like, the fog chases people, like, you know, appears and moves on its own, whereas the mist is like...
Yeah, the mist is just everywhere.
Yeah.
It's just a wall of mist. Yeah. Whereas the fog...
If you get
fog
a fan, comes through. If you get a fan big enough, you can just get the mist back. Do you know what I mean? Like, because the ants, the beasts never seem to go out of the mist.
No, so, it's true. So you just walk around with a fan and a long extension cable.
Hoover and reverse. Hoovers don't have reverse buttons. This is something different than cartoons. They always put it on reverse when they suck something up. It's not real. That's not true.
Yeah.
And I really want it on. Yeah.
Cartoons, eh? Forever
lying.
Lying.
They actually didn't fit a whole lab in that cupboard. Like, I really wanted to have a lab in my cupboard, but I didn't even have a cupboard. Yeah. Okay, so the film. Okay, so let's have a look. So the key players in the story. There's two men. There's a shitload. Adrian Barbeau plays Stevie Wayne, who's like radio host. She, like, her radio station is in like a lighthouse tower. So, by the way, her view from that lighthouse top is amazing, because you can see like the curvature of the earth. It's so big. I don't know if that's just like the anamorphic sort of lens that sort of helped that. Jamie Lee Curtis plays someone called Elizabeth Solly. She is an artist on the road,
hitchhiking. Slut. I'm joking. I should have said that.
Yeah.
I'm joking. That was a joke.
She just goes where the wind blows.
Yeah.
And then has sex quick.
Blows the wind with men twice her age. But she's a free woman in the 21st century. You can do what she wants. 20th century.
Janet Leigh plays, who is Jamie Lee Curtis's mum, I read. Plays Kathy Williams, who I think is like the mayoress of the town or something like that. She's one of the characters I don't think we really needed. Didn't really add much to it.
And like, she had a sidekick, didn't she?
Yeah, like a personal assistant,
A carer. What?
John Houseman plays Mr. Macken. I don't know who that is. Who was Mr. Macken?
Mr. Macken was a man on the boat.
Okay. Maybe, yeah. So he could be one of the guys.
He's a boatman.
Tom Atkins played Nick Castle. Again, I'm looking at these pictures of these people and I'm thinking, I think
it's because the pictures of the people are how they look now. And it's really difficult to tell who they are. I mean, it is like almost 40 years ago.
Yeah.
That's mad.
James Cannon plays
40 years.
Dick Baxter. I don't know.
Adrian Barbeau plays Stevie Wayne, is 72 years old.
She was married to John Carpenter when they made this film. This was their first
John, you little. Was John Carpenter? Did he have a little? He had a little cameo, didn't he?
Yeah, at the start. Yeah, played the Father Malone's personal assistant. Everyone has personal assistants in Antonio Bay.
Yeah, but when I saw him, I was like, "Hang on a minute, John Carpenter has always looked incredibly old." Sorry, John. And when I saw him, I was like, hey, yeah, hang on a minute.
But now who's he looks this guy? Like turning into, I mean, back then I kind of feel like he looks like an old semi-rocker sort of guy. But now
semi-rocker. Hey man, I'm not a rocker, okay? I mean I'm just a semi-rocker.
I just like now I feel like it's got that, I don't know, like he presses his face into fire once a night. Like it's got like a sort of, I don't know.
He looks like he's seen, you know, he's been there, he's done that, he's got the t-shirt, he's seen all the dimensions.
Yeah.
He's seen all the parallel
universes.
That's
it, yeah.
And he's like, I know things that, you know, his you don't want to know.
The skin of his face has touched too many atmospheres. Like, it's ruined him. It's exfoliated with the wrong the wrong dimension soap. I don't know. But
he's only 5 years old.
But I think he's an absolute dude. Like when I watch interviews with him, like he's so like sort of sour and like so he just doesn't care anymore. There was one interview I saw on, like it's someone from Leeds was interviewing him, and you could tell the interviewer was super, it's for a film festival. This interviewer was so nervous. Like he was like, you know when someone's so nervous they're kind of like constantly trying to get saliva back in their throat.
John.
And he asked John something about where his inspiration comes from. And then John Carpenter, I can't tell if John Carpenter was saying a joke, but he said something about his mum was in a mental institution. It's a really sort of, like, if it was a joke, it was a really sort of off the cuff sort of joke. And the guy in the interview didn't know what to say. He went, oh, okay, sorry, we won't touch on that. But like, John just looked like he just didn't care. Yeah. Okay. Didn't give a shit. So who else has got in the film? Let's keep going, I guess. Charles Cyphers, Dan O'Bannon.
Oh, we've covered everyone, haven't we? It's just a load of...
Wait, one more who's quite important.
Oh, right, okay.
Hal Holbrook plays Father Malone.
Malone, he's still alive.
Maloney.
Hal Holbrook is 92 years old at the moment. I mean, he's doing well.
Yeah.
Considering 40 years ago, he looked pretty old.
Yeah, he did look quite old in this. He plays the I didn't see him drink, but I'm gonna assume he was drunk, like a drunk, guilt-ridden priest.
You didn't see him drink, so you're gonna assume he's drunk.
Yeah, but
I mean, guilty until proven innocent, I say.
But he's playing that sort of, you know, full of sin, regret priest who we're all doomed. There's no point. Yeah, he's complete. Negative Nunu later on in the film. Anyway, okay, so the film starts with Captain Birdseye. It's like it's like some little kids are there. Have you ever seen Are You Afraid of the Dark? It's pretty much that, but Captain Birdseye's rocked up and he's like, I've got one more story for you. Have a fish finger and we'll talk. And then he goes, I'm going to tell you, apparently this is one of like the reshoot moments. So I've got a story for you. 100 years ago, some people got drowned or something in a boat. What's the story about? Like something bad happened 100 years ago.
Something bad happened. You never guess what. It was just pretty much just like it was almost like telling you the story of what the film was going to be before it even begun. So this was a reshoot, was it?
Yeah, well this bit.
So there's a little boy who's Stevie's son who's there listening to the story, and he's like, and everyone's. Yeah. This was the bit that made me laugh.
Well, then listen to the story.
At the end of the story, the camera like pans up off of Captain Birdseye's head, but I mistook it as him just going down.
Yeah, going back into his hole.
Like he was in front of them, but he still kept going. Well, we can see you later.
Yeah.
And I was just like, surely that wasn't the shot. And it took me like a couple. Well, I watched it again. And I went, oh right, okay, the camera's just panning up.
Wow!
Yeah. Captain Birdseye,
like one of those people who pretends to go down in an elevator, sort of press it and then crouch. Yep. Yeah,
behind the sofa and walks down behind the sofa. I love that. I think that's a great party trick.
You know what I've been doing recently? Well, I did once. So when I was left for the bus the other day, I'd just been watching Stranger Things. I'd just seen. Have you seen this season 2 yet?
Not all of it. I've watched about 6 episodes.
Okay, I don't. Okay, I won't spoil it.
Well, don't spoil it for everyone listening as well.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I won't spoil it. But just I did something quite funny and quite, you know, clever.
And you just going to have to take my word for it. Okay.
Patronising Condor, and now modest Condor. I did something quite cool and clever, you know, and everyone on the bus clapped me, okay? Everyone did. They're impressed.
Okay, so...
I don't know what it is now.
Well, you have to watch the rest of Stranger Things, yeah.
Ah.
So you're going to watch the rest of Stranger Things thinking, like, what did Luke... what the fuck was he on about?
There's going to be a bit where someone's on a bus and they, like, do a backflip down the aisle or something.
You're like, nah, he's lying. Okay, so yeah, then we cut to present day or something. This is the story that's being told, I imagine. Father Malone is in his church. John Carpenter says something like, "Do you want me to take the bin out or something?" And then he goes out and there's some lightning or some thunder, and a bit of the church wall falls off. Father Malone looks in, finds a little diary, and I think it belonged to his great granddad or granddad or something. And he looks into it, and then it says something like, 100 years ago, his grandfather and five other people pillaged a boat of lepers who were trying to find some peaceful place to be lepers together and
be amongst people. They just wanted someone to bed down for the night.
Yeah,
they just wanted someone to chill out, you know, be lepers.
But then these people, the good guys, Father Malone's granddad was essentially a pirate, I guess. They pillaged the boat, sunk it, took the gold, and then there was a curse placed on the island, Antonio Bay. So every 100 years, apparently, these ghosts are going to come back and they're going to do people in. Which, tonight is the night, it's the 100th year.
Which is weird, isn't it? It's weird to go, oh, we're going to do it, we're going to put a curse right on this town, we're going to do you in. In 100 years, you wait,
you won't see
it coming. In 100 years, we'll be back.
I really did that thing where it's like, I'm going to do it, but I'm not going to tell you when. Could be now. Could be 100 years' time. But you won't know.
And constantly, every time a fog rolls in, you'd be like, shit.
Whew. Not this time.
It's a normal fog.
Yeah. And then it sort of cuts to that, like I talked about, like the intro of a game sort of thing. So it's got lots of different shots of Antonio Bay. It looks lovely. Like I said, it's a nice community. We've got... is his name Stevie Ray? Whoever the radio
Stevie,
host is.
Stevie Wayne.
Stevie Wayne. Yep. Vaughan. She's like saying good morning, playing some jazz records because apparently they love jazz and swing in Antonio Bay.
What do they play?
And then I think it was good. I think it felt like an actual town. It felt like a real place.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. So like pretty much when it hits midnight, loads of dodgy things start happening, don't they? Like someone's car alarm goes off. So, well, loads of car alarms go off, don't they?
The glasses like pop or something, or like
there's a guy like in a shop doing some really crap sweeping. There doesn't seem to be anything to sweep, but he's sweeping along.
You know
just
what?
Like,
that annoys
just
me.
Go home,
like,
mate.
You know when someone's mopping or sweeping? I think sometimes they feel like the aim is just to touch the floor with the mop or get the floor wet or something. I'm like, no, you're cleaning the floor. Like there is an actual point to like the aim is to. Not to get the floor wet. The aim is to get the dirt off the floor. Jesus.
Hey, you're not mopping that floor properly, you know? I mean, come on. Yeah, this guy's sweeping. Some glasses start smashing, and I think, now you've got something to sweep up, you prick.
Yeah,
so loads of weird, dodgy things start happening. At the same time as when the masonry falls from the wall and the old priest, and what's his name? Is he a priest?
Father Malone.
Oh, Father Malone. And he's alone.
Is every father a priest? Or is every priest a father?
Well, you know, what came first, chicken or the egg? I mean, that's what I know. Scenario, isn't it?
Is it like another word for it? I'm not
daddy?
A Christian. No, I mean, ooh, is...
Daddy Malone.
Is someone who is a priest referred to as father?
Yeah, or... I think so. Yeah, why not? I mean, yeah, if it's not the case, then, you know...
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more.
That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Correct us, but, you know.
Yeah. Do it.
Let's say yeah.
Christians.
Yeah, come on. Come at us, Christians.
Actually, would generally like to know. Okay, so
yeah.
Meanwhile, out on the sea, there's a fishing boat or something.
Yeah.
The fishermen aren't really doing much inside the boat. They're chilling, smoking.
Smoking and hey, they're smoking a number. They're smoking a doobie. They're chilling out. They're listening to the radio. Stevie Wayne's on the radio. And I think they like listening to the radio, not for the swing or the jazz. They like listening to it for Stevie Wayne's dulcet tones. This is ASMR before ASMR existed.
Yeah.
Stevie Wayne's voice
putting him to sleep. Yeah, this is so relaxing. I don't even know why.
But the thing is, she seems to work through the night at this radio station in the lighthouse, playing all this music, speaking the way she does, and she stay awake. I don't see her consume one cup of coffee during this film.
She looks tired. I mean, like, between, like, yeah, which puts music on, she does this whole whew, kind of, you know, so she's putting a show on.
She just sticks a Rammstein on.
Yeah, to all 100 people in Antonio Bay who are listening. Because there can't be that many people listening within that small town at that time of night.
No, it can't. Well, she's got a couple of regular listeners. There's a guy who keeps ringing the studio. He's a bit of a pest, isn't he?
Number one fan. Yeah, like too
number
much.
Number one fan.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a pest. All right. Oh, hello. Yeah, so I thought I'd just ring up and tell you your voice. You can hear it on the radio.
Yeah, yeah. Also, he says, called the darling, which, you know, can't get with that anymore. I mean, he's...
Are they involved romantically? Or is
triggered?
It
no, I don't think so.
Triggered. yeah. So what?
They're on the boat, and then
so fishermen on the boat chilling out, and then the fog. We're going to say this a lot. The fog rolls in because what else does a fog do? Drifts, rolls.
Kind of floats, isn't it?
Floats.
So the number one fan calls Stevie because he's like a weather dude. He says there's a fog. You said it's going one way, it's not, it's going this way. And she's like, oh, that makes it sound like the fog's got a mind of its own or something. It's going against the wind. And then the fog rolls up to this fishing boat where they're listening to Stevie. They go, this is strange to look out, and there's a boat in the fog. There's something in the fog.
There's a moment here where one of the guys on the boat, he quite comically says, there's no fog out there. Oh, wait. There's a fog out there. Like, literally says it like that. And it's really weird. And everyone goes, what? Yeah, so the fog sort of rolls in and then they sort of see like a pirate ship, don't they?
Yeah.
Real close to the boat, and then it kind of vanishes.
The Elizabeth Dane.
Elizabeth.
Is that the girl who play who's in a Homeland? You know who I mean?
Claire Danes?
Claire Danes. It's close
enough. Close enough, but totally wrong, Luke Condor.
There's not a fog out here. There's a fog out here.
He says it exactly like that. It's a really weird moment. There ain't no... What the hell?
Okay, so what happens? So they get murdered, right?
Yeah, so some ghostly leopard pirates turn up on the ship and do some stabbing. They stab one guy, stab another guy. Then there's another guy inside mucking about with the apparatus, and he says something along the lines of, "There's a fog out here," and then he gets stabbed. This is one close up we see, sort of a guy who's like one of the pirate ghost leper men, and he looks a bit silly. He looks just like a student on the night out.
They can look pretty leprosy. Yeah, they can look pretty leprous. Leprous, I guess.
Yeah, leprous.
But that bit was good because so it's just the guy's face, and then like you saw the fog monster there, and then it went completely pitch black, and then he sort of grabbed his head, and he looked like he had Raphael from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, his sigh, and he shook him twice in each eye, like really quick.
Oh yeah, yeah, that was good.
Brutal, yeah. The sound effects were spot on.
Forgot about that murder.
Yeah.
Plop. Goodbye eyes. And then, yeah, next morning, this is weird. Stevie Wayne wakes up the next morning. Her son's like waking her up. And I think, hang on a minute. How many hours sleep has she had? She's been up all night. And her son, disrespect, has just come straight in and gone, get up, mum, get up. I'm working all night.
Still no coffee. She's not going to coffee for her. Yeah.
No. Is she getting paid for this or is it a labor of love?
It's like a podcast.
Who's paying her? Is it like a podcast?
She's obviously getting paid loads then.
Yeah. What a waste of time. Wait a minute. Is this a waste of time? Is what we're doing now a waste of time? On your deathbed, we're going to go 1,045 episodes of Horror Hangout. What a waste of time. Yeah. Could have been doing anything. Could have been traveling the world.
But we can warn people about the fog. There's a fog coming out. It's a remake.
Another remake. There's Watch a fog out there. It's a fog out there.
I actually thought this would make a good TV show. If there was more to the fog, do you know what I mean? Like, there'd have to be another element to it. But, like, they could, because there's lots of different things going on around the town.
The fog would have to roll in and target certain people, I think.
Like an evil.
That's the only way we get. And then it'd be a murder getting investigated by Al Pacino, who couldn't sleep because the sun never went down. Oh, that's already a film.
Yeah.
That's already a film.
And it should smell. Like, before they see it, they should go, they should smell it and go, ooh.
What's it smell like?
Meat, like rotten meat, like leprosy.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
And then there'd be a moment where the fog turns up and someone goes, shit, it's the mist. Go, no, that's definitely the fog.
There's something in the mist. fog.
I'm in the fog. We're in the John Carpenter universe, not the Stephen King verse. Oh, easy to get confused.
Yeah. Okay, so what happens now? So some people got killed. It was the morning after. Right, yeah.
Yeah. Her son, Andy, finds a bit of driftwood with the word Dane written on it. Where have we seen that before? But initially, it looks like a gold coin. And he goes, oh, a little bit of gold. Oh, a little bit of gold. And then the wave washes out, and then suddenly there's a bit of wood.
See, I didn't pick that up until he said it was a gold coin. I just thought there was nothing there. I didn't see anything. And then there was a piece of wood. So it says Dane. Does he take it to his mum at this point?
Yeah, he gives it to his mum. And then he goes back out and she takes it to her next shift at the lighthouse to do the radio show, which is now in the daytime. Oh, double geez. Shifting over it. So, I mean, when does she... If it is a labour of love and she's not getting paid for it, don't put every waking minute into it. You'll run yourself to the ground.
You know when she's not got a show? I'm pretty sure she just plays those ads. This place is like the same ad, like ad version 32. Listen to KBBA radio. Like, she just plays the same thing over and over again. And then she turns up once in a while and does a shift.
Just leave it playing forever.
There's no other radio host, is there? Like,
oh, I don't think there is. She don't come in and she's got like Alan Partridge sat there doing mid-morning matters.
So she goes upstairs. There's, like I said, there's ads playing. Some spooky stuff happens now, right? So the wood starts. She leaves the woods on top. Wood on top of a tape, top of the tape display or whatever it is. It starts leaking water. Everything sets on fire, and then it says 6 months die in it or something. Like the
There's like a weird when that happens. There's a weird voice that comes from the tape player, which has been. Leaked on
KBB radio. Was it
like, Six must die. Oh my god,
Jesus Christ, yeah.
That's
got to have been sample for like a metal track, hasn't it? Six must die.
It would be good. I like it. We've missed a bit out here. We missed out the bit where we meet Elizabeth. No.
Yeah.
Where we meet Jamie Lee Curtis's character.
So is that on the first night? So she is hitchhiking. Are you doing an impression of someone hitchhiking?
Yeah, I don't know what that was, actually.
Yeah.
That's not a hitchhike. That's a hitchhike, isn't it? Hey, give me a ride. Now, I was confused by this relationship. So she hitchhikes, and a guy in a truck stops and picks her up.
Yeah.
Did they know each other from before? This is the first time they've met.
First time they've met.
very, very weird dynamic between these two.
Yeah.
It's almost one. It's almost like a sex game where they're like, you go out on the road and I'll come and pick you up. And then
you mean like the role playing?
Yeah, because they seem to I was so confused because he picks her up. They're driving along. Then suddenly the windscreen implodes. All the truck's windows smash.
He says, you're not a weirdo, are you? And he goes, yes, I am a weirdo. And she goes, good.
Yeah, good. Because everyone else I've met has been so boring. Oh, well, you say that, but then if a weirdo's dismembering you, you don't go, well, this is fun.
Yeah. At least it's interesting. Yeah.
So they go back to his, and he gives her she hitchhikes a ride on him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what she was asking for when she had the thumb out. Up the bum?
Ride. And he went, yes, please.
Up, yeah. You're a weirdo, right? Yeah. You said you were a weirdo.
It's weird because you meet a strange man on the road.
Yeah.
All of his windows implode. And somehow you bond over that and then have sex with him. And then like a fog monster man knocks on the door. He wants to get involved as well. That's why.
Well,
he's been watching through the window. He's like going, oh, bloody hell. 100 years I've been floating in the, I've been floating in the realms of hell. 100 years. I might be a leper, but that still works downstairs. Let me in. Yeah.
And then that like curved dagger went like straight for some reason. I'm not too sure why. That's a weird curvy dagger.
you really straighten my dagger, you do.
And then after they've done the business, he goes, what was your name again?
Yeah.
And then, they sort of find out each other's name after.
But she kind of like goes, what's her name? What's her name? Elizabeth. That's why I thought it was a weird sex game, because she goes, Elizabeth, like it wasn't actually a real name, like it was a character. Elizabeth. I was like, what are these guys playing at, and what are they doing in this film? I reckon John Carpenter pitched that role to Jamie Lee Curtis. Now I know you've been typecast a lot as just somebody runs away from a killer.
We're gonna add a new element to your character. Yeah, you like
new element.
You're an artist and you sleep around a lot. What?
with this guy, I mean, no disrespect to this guy, he's twice her age, isn't he?
And he's got twice the head mass. You know, he's got quite a big head.
Hang on a minute. Not only are you twice my age, but you've got twice the head mass I have. I'm not into this.
When he said I'm a weirdo, he's referring to the size of his head. Yes, I'm not normal at all.
Exactly. Basically, these guys, Jamie Lee Curtis, Elizabeth, and the bloke she's knocking off with, what's his name? Nick Castle. So they get involved in trying to find out what's happened to the trawler that goes missing, which the fog ghosts attacked. Why did they get involved? Because like Nick knew one of them or something like that?
I think one of them might be his brother or cousin or something like that.
Yeah. Okay, that's right, isn't it? So yeah, they go and find the trawler, and then when they get on board, there's no one there. Like the boat is almost like all the what's happened to all the apparatus? It's almost like
pressurized thing, right? Yeah. So
is everything wet as well? Like it almost like,
I think so. As if it's been like underwater.
Yeah, as if the boat's like capsized or been underwater or something. But yeah.
Yeah, and then there's like Jamie Lee Curtis sits on a thing, and then a body falls out on her, and it's the only body you find. It's the one who I think got the eyes jabbed out.
Yeah, but it's like a double jump scare here, isn't it? Well, not well like a. Like a fake scare initially and followed by an actual jump scare.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it's called. Yeah, which is pretty good.
And it said the body looks like it's been drowned or been underwater for months or something, like it's water clogged or something like that. So then they get on the boat and they take that body back to the morgue or whatever.
Yep, autopsy room where they're all chilling. You know, that's what they do. They just let everyone in the autopsy room these days and go, look, come on, just help me work out what's happened to this body.
See, this is I don't understand what happened here. So, the mortician and Mr. Bighead walk into a different room and they're talking about, this is weird. The guy's looks like he's been dead for months or whatever. And then the dead body kind of comes alive and
it looks like
he's going to attack Jamie Lee Curtis's character, but then it just falls over.
Yeah.
But did it have a biro? Because it sort of wrote in biro on the floor. Like
it had, I thought it had like a, I thought it just carved the number three on the floor with something. I don't know if it was supposed to be a fingernail, a biro, a Stanley knife or something, but it managed to carve the number three on there, which happens to be his favourite number.
And does that mean so the three are dead now and there's three more to kill. So it's not like there's only like six people going to die every 100 years. It's not that much. Like,
exactly. When you think about it, it's quite a friendly fog.
To say, you know, they...
It's quite a friendly fog.
Say how much they got. So they slaughtered these leprosy people on a boat. They got a load of gold and they sort of started the town, Antonio Bay, with it. Just to sacrifice six people every 100 years. Just, you know, they've got a town out of it and they've got like a big gold cross. They've done quite well out of the deal.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, if someone said to you, right, you can have all this stuff, but in 100 years something bad's going to happen, you'd be like, fuck them.
I'll be dead by then. Yeah.
Pretty much.
So while that's happening, so the guy writes through on the floor. So what's happening in the radio tower? So the sign is like leaks water. A voice has sort of appeared, like a ghostly voice. And then
that's pretty much it.
Okay.
Like she puts the fire out and the piece of wood says Dane again. It's not on fire.
Were you getting like a Pirates of the Caribbean vibe from this at all? You best start believing in ghost stories.
I needed the theme to be... I was about to sing it then, but it was completely gone.
Yeah, I was just trying to think of that and then it just sort of...
I'm going to do Game of Thrones.
I'll go to Gladiator. See, that's... Because there is a very similar... Like, similar to... See, I love that Gladiator when that theme comes down.
I honestly can't think of how it goes.
No, that was good.
I keep going. Pirates of the Caribbean.
Is that one of the best? Is that one of the best like theme tunes ever made? That theme tune, like, I just have to sing along to it every time it's on.
Yeah.
Catchy. It's something like that, right? Am I getting the Gladiator thing again?
Game of Thrones again.
Okay, anyway, yeah. We'll come back to that. So what happens now? So I guess it's like ramping up already towards the end, right? So
yeah. I mean, this is the thing. All this stuff has happened over the course of like two thirds of the film. So it is night. The pacing's nice. We've kind of not seen. We've seen the fog turn up like once. It's not been. Do you know what I mean? All the stuff with the radio tower is all pretty creepy.
Yeah. Okay. I do remember what happens next. Okay. So Stevie's on the phone to her. The number one creepy fan, creepy Steven. And he's like, oh, it's all foggy outside. And he goes to check the door and she's on the phone at the same time and said, no, don't. And then he opens the door and then the creepy pirates sort of pull him into the fog and shunk him. The sound effects were so good in the way they sort of get him. And he's like, he's not even screaming. I mean, if you got killed by fog monsters, you'd scream or something. But I mean... What kind of noise would you make, Ben?
If I got killed by some fog monsters?
Yeah. Yeah. That one. Yeah, I think that's the one. But
I want to scream, but I'm so full of absolute terror. I don't know what's going on.
Maybe you can't breathe and it's like too... too raspy.
You know what it is? It's not fog. It's just a big vape cloud.
Yeah,
rolling in. There's some 2017 hipsters that have traveled through time, and they're doing a real big vape cloud, and it's just rolling in towards
the fog. Yeah,
the ghost just exists, but like separately. There's nothing to do with the vape cloud.
We should do our own film. So there's the mist, the fog, the vapor,
the vape cloud, or the vape man, the vape, or just vape.
Yeah, I like it.
Every 100 years, a vape cloud rolls in to...
Okay, so...
And there's like 20 dickheads in it, all vaping.
Super annoying. Are you scared of dickheads? Fucking vape everywhere. Like, Jesus Christ, I can't see anything.
God damn it, what even is it? I mean, what nicotine level is it? I mean, I really want some. It's delicious. You can get all different types of flavors. Blueberry, banana, Can you get it in chocolate chip? Maybe.
Of course you can, Grandad. They do every flavour.
Of course you can, Grandad. Every flavour you want. Yeah. Grow up.
So that'd be the trilogy of smoky films. So he gets killed. He gets killed, and then for some reason, Stevie realizes that the fog is full of fog monsters and killing people.
Yeah.
See, this is a bit of a jumpy conclusion, and then she puts her whole career on the line and gets on the radio and says, "Please, the fog's going towards my family house because you can see it from up there in the lighthouse. Please, can someone go get my son and save him from the fog?" See, like, she only heard Steve sort of get stabbed. She didn't know he got killed by the fog.
Yeah. When the fog goes into Steve's house, I felt really sorry for the babysitter, that older lady, Mrs. Cobritz.
Yeah, they didn't give a shit about her.
She was like an 80-year-old woman who was like going, yeah, "Come on now, Andy, go to your bedroom. It's only fog monsters at the door," and she gets murderized.
She was fodder for the fog. She was fogger.
She was fog fodder.
Yeah.
She was fog fodder, which is unfortunate considering she seemed like such a lovely lady.
Yeah.
But Nick Castle obviously arrives because he's the big hero of the hour. He's already shagged Jamie Lee Curtis, so now he's like, right now I've got to do some rescues, and then I really will have done a good film.
So yeah, they did a big rescue. It's a kind of close call. The grand fodder is killed. Grandfather. And my grandmother and my grandfather, both dead. And then they get killed by the fog. What's her name? Stevie. The fog starts to come up the lighthouse now. She's like trying to get away from it. At the same time, they were having a big celebration for the 100th birthday of this town. And that's where this sort of side story is happening that doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah, this is the thing. The side story with Jamie Lee Curtis's mum, what's her name? With all these people, I was just like, oh, these were the people you could have lost, because it was like, oh, there's some stuff happening.
Or they should have just died. They should have just had the fog roll through that whole party thing, and then everyone gets mowed down brutally
by the fog.
And then it's like, oh shit, the fog's real,
shit,
man. Like,
the fog is taking names and killing more than six people. Maybe it should have been a bit where it was like, we got a taste for this now. We don't want to kill just six. We want to kill 16. Everyone.
Oh,
we want to kill 16 people. Oh, bloody hell, mate. Jesus.
Yeah.
Calm down. And then the fog fodder were just all lined up.
Yeah.
And scythed down one by one. Pretty much every other character who's not Stevie Nicks, Stevie Wayne.
I keep going to say Stevie Ray Vaughan.
So they all take refuge in the church, don't they? In the back room.
Yeah, they go to Father Malone's church. Father Malone's only been in it at the start of this film. Now he's like, now he's like a main character again. He's like, the town's cursed. We're all doomed. There's no getting away from them. Sure, you go inside if you want, but we're all buggered. Like, he's completely pessimistic. The glass is half empty for him. It's all the way empty, and it's piss. It's a glass of piss. they get inside. Hide, the fog's coming now. There's some cool shots of like leprosy arms sort of reaching slowly in through the windows. That's some glass breaking there.
When the fog is inside the church as well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Churchy fog.
What's his name? Father goes, "Oh, I've got this massive gold cross. It's made from the gold of all the gold that was stolen. Super heavy." He brings it out, and so now we like the Fever Pictures film. So
not only did they steal the gold, but they made a religious symbol out of it. Seems like a waste.
It does.
They could have all had sick bling. Everyone in that town could have had a
instead of that
chunky
massive gold cross that the father likes to wear. They could have all had like a decent.
He likes to wear that massive cross. Just weighs
He's not a good guy in this film. Like, his grandfather killed his people just so he could do a sermon and look bitching.
Yeah. Where'd you get that gold cross from, mate? Oh, don't even ask if I got it online somewhere.
So he's the father's like, "I was going to trade this gold in for some wonga on wonga.com. but I've decided I'll just give it back to, what's the guy's name? Blake. Like the main pirate ghost. His name's Blake, I think.
Yeah, he's got a name.
Captain
That's weird,
Barbossa.
Isn't it? It's weird that he's got a name.
Why?
I don't know. I thought they'd be just like faceless, nameless ghosts.
Yeah, he's the only one with red eyes.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, old red eye Blake.
I want to see a prequel to this. I want to see it happening.
Yeah, imagine. So you're on a boat. Years ago. You're on a boat full of lepers, and then you get attacked for your gold by healthy people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it.
And then you die, and then you go, I'm a ghost.
Imagine if that was a game. You were a ghost ship. You were the fog, and you could like spawn ghosts, like Command and Conquer, or like ghost ships. And then, then like you have to sort of get to this town and get all the people. That sounds fucking amazing. I really want that game. We'll get that kickstarted soon. Okay, so Stevie Ray Vaughan is on the roof of the thing. She's about to get killed, and also we get a nice shot of someone's face. It's first a ghost person's face. First time we see it. They got worms and maggots and stuff in it. Nice.
It'd be annoying. See, I don't want to be a ghost for 100 years and have loads of maggots and worms in my face. I'd be like, I don't care about my revenge and stuff. I just want to be at peace.
I want to get some cream.
I'm sick of being a leper. I'm sick of it. Yeah. I don't care about the gold. Get me out of here, Blake. And Blake would just be like, glowing red eyes. Oh, yeah, great. Good point.
Blake just wants his bling back. Captain Blake. So, and then the little boys are getting attacked, and like they're all getting like pulled to the windows by these leprosy hands. And then Father gives the cross to Blake. So I'm sorry, my great granddad was the guy who stole this. Soz, and he hands it to him. And then it's like gets super. The cross glows white, and it looks like the father's gonna die, but Nick Castle. Pulls him away from the cross.
At the last minute.
Or blows
pulls
up.
Him off.
Does it all blow up?
I think it's just like a big flash of light in there. There's a big flash of light, like which is Blake ejaculating. And Nick Castle does another rescue. Who did you blow to get that part, mate? Hey, I got a good idea for a rewrite for this script. How about Nick Castle saves the day?
And he gets the girl without saying anything.
And he gets the girl without even knowing her name, just the way it should be.
And he gets a thumb up his bum. Yeah. Okay. So
that's right.
All the way up. Okay. So
the wrist.
So then they save the day. And I think it sort of cuts to black pretty quickly after that. I don't think too much happens. And then we get like a final epilogue where the father's like, oh, I was super pessimistic, but now I think everything's going to be okay, actually. And there's like,
that's a jig.
This isn't piss, this is water. And then and as he sips at it, the fog suddenly turns up, and then it ends with Blake, or Red Eye Blake, decapitating Father Malone. Cool little ending.
Cutting his noggin off.
And then the music, lead.
I really like the main theme, don't you?
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, I actually knew it. I've been listening to it prematurely before watching this film, so I kind of knew it before. But that was it. That's it. That's the film
from the anthology album.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, it's a really good album. Well, I mean, I've got it on Spotify. I don't actually own anything anymore. You all right?
Sorry, just tired. It's because I've got so many layers on. I think
you've getting that.
I've got two layers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get a brain fog. I've got two layers on. I'm in an incredibly warm room.
Yeah.
I'm getting ready for bed here.
It's very warm.
Half past eight.
You've got bunting on the wall there.
wrong way. Yeah, over there. Yeah, that's it.
Well, yeah, it's 8:30. Feels a lot later. Okay. So we need to do now anyway. So the trivia. You ready?
That's okay. The end.
Number one. Yeah, that's the end of the film. That's just how it ends. Number one, director John Carpenter said the film was inspired after a visit to Stonehenge when he spied upon the plains a great creepy fog. True or false?
Yeah, true.
It's true. Yeah, so he went to Stonehenge and he said that was creepy. And then that I'll make a film about that. Okay, number two, the ghost story. Oh, I think we might have spoiled this. The ghost story prologue scene was added after the first edit of the film was put together after JC gobbled down a ketchup and fish finger sandwich, pointed to the air, one of the fish fingers, and said, "By Johnny, I think I've got it. I'm going to add Captain Birdseye to the film." True or false?
False.
Okay. Well, it's halfway true. Halfway true.
Wait, nothing's halfway true, mate, is it? Come on. Who are you? Politics. Who are you? The mainstream media.
Jazz music. Are you ready for number three?
Huh?
Are you ready for number three?
Yeah. I thought that was number three.
Jazz music was used for Stevie Wayne's radio station because it was more affordable than rock music, and can because jazz CDs are pound for pound the lightest of all the CDs.
That's halfway true, isn't it? That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to get me of halfway truths and halfway falses, like I'm some sort of mug.
This is a
halfway
true. Wait, that's not rain. Okay, so that's true. Jazz music is more affordable. And as like all of John Carpenter's films, they seem to be like too low budget, but he seems to make them good anyway. Number four, the band mentioned in the radio near the beginning is the Coupe de Villes, which John Carpenter is a member of. True or false?
True.
Yeah, have you ever heard the Coupe de Villes?
No.
Super cheesy, man. listen to Coupe de Villes.
What does John Carpenter do?
He sings and plays like a guitar, and like he wears like a blazer with the sleeves rolled up, and it's like proper Big Trouble in China. But
he does songs based on his films. Is this it?
Well, that one. I don't know if it's it.
The thing. The thing.
Well, I mean, that's the sort of fashion of it.
The thing.
It's very like big and boomy and echoey. Number five, the last one. When Nick and Elizabeth rescue Stevie's son Andy from the fog, only Andy asks about the babysitter. When he says, "Hang on a sec, where in the blazes is my babysitter?"
True.
Sure. Why not? It's false. No one asked about the babysitter. Completely forgotten about.
Yeah. It's because they know she's dead. They know she's been fogged.
Yeah.
You've been fogged.
You know, like on Grand Theft Auto when you get wasted. Like that comes up when you it goes red. Fogged. Like a foghorn. Yeah. Okay, so what are you going to grade the film?
I'm gonna grade the film an F for fog. I love this film. It's not my favorite John Carpenter film by any stretch of the imagination. I think it's like it feels like a bit of a
compared to Ghost of Mars, though.
It's nothing compared to Ghost of Mars. It's nowhere. It's here. Ghost of Mars is here and rising.
Yeah.
But I still enjoyed it. I think it's still like a classic film in terms of like atmosphere, soundtrack, iconic visuals. I just think story-wise, after the final, like the third act, for me, doesn't feel like it lives up to the hype of the rest of the film. But I'd still give this film a B minus.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I was going for a similar thing. It's good. I think if I watched this years and years ago, like when Tommy said he watched it as a kid, and Andy, like it would have been one of those, like, you know, one of those films that I think maybe would have been on par with Gremlins or something in your memory of that kind of vibe. Town gets under siege by nasties, but I still kind of liked it. I'm gonna give it a B, just a solid B.
Oh, I've gone for a solid B.
Yeah,
gotta go higher than B every time, haven't you? I don't know what you're trying to prove.
I don't think, I think there's been a couple of times when I've voted lower, right?
There's been a couple, mate. One or two out of 35 episodes.
Yeah, old Father Malone over here, he's always saying this shit.
The glass is half full of piss.
And there's jizz in it, I bet. Okay.
God.
Nick Castle's been at it again, I guess.
Yeah, it's jizzing and everything.
So that's it for this episode. Next week, we're going to be doing number 20 on the list.
Yep.
Psychopath.
Psycho. I mean, we're getting into like super classic territory now, aren't we? We're dipping a toe into the top 20. Now we're going balls deep into the top 20.
All the way. Thumbs up.
Thumbs up. So we're hitting the classics.
Yeah. So this show is brought to you by Story Studio Hawk and Cleaver. head over to hawkandcleaver.com. Become a patron over at patreon.com/hawkandcleaver. Thanks to Kovacs Kalman for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners. If you enjoyed the show, please consider giving us a nice 5-star rating and review in iTunes. And remember to hit subscribe. And thanks once again to my co-host Ben for being a real horror dude.
Thumbs up, Luke.
No.
Maybe okay. Later.
Maybe later. All right. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks, you're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit 1 million orders stage? Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.